brisket and then other foods. Okay, so let's go to John chapter 11. Be thinking about Lido. Lido actually had to leave. He's got to go to another church, so that's why he left. Just so that you know. I do recognize that we are limited on our time this morning because of baptism and having Lido share with us, but that was all, in my opinion, part of our worship service, and so we're glad to have that and that be a part. And so I'm not going to keep you all day. I'm not going to do a normal one-hour long sermon. We're going to break it down just a little bit because we're going to be in John chapter 11 for a couple more weeks. And so this will be a good start, a good intro into what we're going to be looking at in the story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. Yes, he does raise him from the dead. So, like, we're not even going to get to that part, but so that you know, we're going to just go ahead and tell the story already, the climax, Lazarus raises from the dead, which makes the story all that more amazing. And you know that the last week we were in John chapter 10, and we learned a lot of good things, I believe, out of John chapter 10 about Jesus being the good shepherd, if y'all remember that. And we talked a lot about that and how he's our shepherd, but he's also the door that helps us get in to the fold. And we talked about what a great shepherd he is. And then we just kind of, one of the things that we said last week was that Jesus was standing there 2,000 years ago, and they wanted to know, they said, just tell us plainly, who are you? Are you the Christ? And he says, I've told you. And one of the things that we noticed, I believe, is that Jesus was there making a case for himself. Now, God didn't have to do that, because who he is enough. But he does, and he stands there and he makes a case for himself, telling them who he is, making them think back to the things that he had said and the works that he had done. And we see throughout the whole book of John, the whole purpose of the book of John is so that people might know that he is the Christ, that he is the Messiah. And then through that, and through knowing that he is God, that they would come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and therefore enter into the kingdom of God and have eternal life. So that's kind of what the purpose was. And he's just giving us just picture after picture after picture of who he is, describing himself as the light of the world, the bread of life, as water that will just overflow inside of a person. He calls himself the shepherd. So we learned a lot about all that last week. And then he said the whole thing, I and the Father are one, where he claims equality with God. And let me just say that right there is fundamental. That is foundational. That is the core of who we believe Jesus is. There are a lot of other religions out there that would say Jesus is not one with the Father. He is not God. He is a created being just like we are, except he is better than us, that he is greater than we are. It's not what he says about himself over and over and over again, and it's not what his works proved him to be. His works proved him to be something greater than just a created being with powers. Okay? And his death proved who he was. So here we are in John chapter 11. Follow along with me. First 16 verses here. God's glory for our benefit. It's the title of the sermon today. So we see, now a certain man was ill, Lazarus, of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, the illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. You mark that verse in your mind. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, so when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. After saying these things, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I'm glad that I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him. So Thomas called a twin, Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, let us go also that we may die with him. Let's pray. Father, the one thing we see here is that you are in total control. And this is a very odd set of verses and your responses to them. Lord, make us go, hmm. And Lord, anytime I see that, it makes me know that you're trying to teach me something. So God, I pray that we see that this morning, what you're trying to teach us. God, that we learn just a little bit, because we can only learn so much about your glory, but a little bit about your glory and what it means to glorify you and why your glory is so important and what you were doing there on that day. God, speak to our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so look. Here he is. You remember, we ended last week with him going across the Jordan and many believing on him, right? So we had a chapter that ended very well. Chapter that ended good. John the Baptist had prepared the way. He had preached, and then Jesus goes across there and he starts teaching them about himself, and they believe on him. And so it ended well. And here we see things change a little bit because he's got a friend who is sick. And so we see the characters here. We see Lazarus, the sick guy. We see his concerned sisters, right? Mary and Martha. We see the worried disciples. And we see Jesus, who is really not worried at all, is he? He knows everything that's going to happen. Note that in your mind. He knows everything that's going to happen. You picture yourself in this story. That's us. We're the ones scurrying around. We're the disciples. We're Mary and Martha, and we're Lazarus. All right? So what we see is Lazarus, who was sick. He was ill. He was about to die. And Jesus said it was a death, it was an illness that does not lead to death, yet he died. And so Jesus meant what he said, and so what did he mean? And obviously he meant that he would not truly die from that. Do you hear that? When we know Christ, what did he say? Was it chapter 9? We will never what? Taste death, will we? We will never taste death. And so Lazarus was ill, and then he died, and so he is put into a grave. Now, during this time, Mary and Martha, his sisters, who loved him greatly and loved Jesus, I like what it talks about in here, and it talks about how they were those that loved Jesus and those that Jesus loved. And when they explained to Jesus who was dying, it says, he whom you love is dying. But Mary and Martha, they were concerned. And if you see later on in the passage, you'll see that they were, I don't know if frustrated is the word for how they felt about Jesus, but they were very upset. And so I want you to picture yourself in Mary and Martha's situation. Take someone that's very, very close to you. You may not have a brother, so someone close to you. And Lazarus, they loved Lazarus. And he was dying. And they were worried. And they were upset. And they didn't know what was going to happen. And then he died. And so him dying, you know what kind of mourning that brings about. And so the mourning occurs, and they're saddened, and they're hurt. Their hearts are broken. And so that's how they are. And then we look later on, and we see the disciples here. And the disciples are with Jesus, and he decides he wants to go back to Judea. And he said, look, they were just trying to kill you. And the disciples, as always, they are looking at things from a very worldly perspective, and so they're worried. And Jesus answered them, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in darkness or walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. And what does he mean by that? That they're going to travel by night to get there? No, it's not what he meant. He meant that he was the light, and they could walk with him. And as if you've noticed, through the whole book of John, people wanted to kill him, but what did it say? It wasn't his time yet. And so here Jesus saying, look, don't worry about it. I'm the light. You can walk with me. There's 12 hours in the day. There will be a darkness coming. Remember he said there's a day coming when you cannot work. The darkness is coming when you cannot work. He says, one day I will die, but right now things will be fine. I can go there. My time's not coming up until it's my time. So you don't have to worry about stuff. You don't have to worry about anybody getting you or anything like that. You are with me. And so we see him telling them that if they walk in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. And they feared death, didn't they? You see later on here, this Thomas, and I like Thomas, because Thomas is real. He kind of tells things the way he sees it. And Thomas may lack faith, but he sure loved Jesus, didn't he? Look what he says here. He says, let us go also that we may die with him. Just think about that for just a second. He thought he was going to die, but he went anyway, didn't he? He lacked faith, but boy, did he love Jesus, right? He says, yeah, I'll go with you. I'll die with you. That's what's going to happen. I mean, that's just what's going to happen. So let's all just go and die. And so we see these worried disciples. Now, what I want you to see out of that, that's just kind of looking at the characters. But what I want you to see in this kind of intro to the story is that the whole situation is for the glory of God. It is that God may be glorified. You see there in verse 4, he says, it is for the glory of God so that the Son of God may be glorified in it. Now, as I sat and meditated on this, one of the things I thought about is how often the words or phrase, the glory of God, is used. Right? We hear that all the time. Let's glorify God for the glory of God, God's glory. And I really feel like maybe there's a disconnect between what we're hearing and what we're understanding. And so And I'm not saying that I completely understand what the glory of God means, but I want you to think about that for a second, because if you don't understand that, you cannot understand anything about these verses. He's doing this for the glory of God so that the Son of God may be glorified. So I looked up the definition for glory or glorified, and it was interesting. There were like 10 different ways to describe it. I just picked two. Glory is a distinguished quality or asset about someone or something. Then I found something that I liked a little bit better. Great beauty or splendor. When we hear about God's glory, we're talking about who He is being shown to us. And I could leave it at that. But who He is, it is shown to us, and when we see it, it is magnificent. Okay? Now, a lot of times we don't see what He's doing. The disciples did not see what He was doing, did they? Mary and Martha did not see what He was doing. He knew what He was doing, and He knew that when He did what He was going to do, that it would show them His glory, His beauty, what is His splendor, the magnificence about Him, His great qualities and assets of who He is as the Son of God and who the Father is as the Father. So it's about the glory of God, and God will be glorified. We see something very interesting in the Bible. I just want to go there really quickly in Leviticus. This is kind of a sad story, but it shows us how important God's glory is to God. In Leviticus chapter 10, I shared this with you probably a year and a half ago about Aaron's sons, verses 1 through 3, Nadab and Abihu, who God had, He set up worship in a certain way. He said, this is how you are to worship me. This is how, you know, you do the incense for the prayers. Now, listen, all that was, all the temple, all the sacrifices, the incense they burned, all that stuff, those were symbols or shadows of heavenly things. And the incense, that was a thing that you could see with your eyes that symbolized prayer. And so, and that was important to God. And so it says, now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put it in it and laid incense on it and offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, which He had not commanded them. And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord has said, among those who are near me, I will be sanctified. Word means made holy. And before all the people, I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. What you see from this right here, this story here, is it is important to God that he be glorified. And what you also see is the actions of Nadab and Abihu were not glorifying to God. He said, I want you to do things a certain way. When you don't do things that way, you don't honor me. You don't glorify me. And it's the same thing for us. Yes, God could send fire down out of heaven and consume us. And sometimes I wonder why in the world he doesn't. Has everybody ever wondered that about themselves? Why God still bears with them? Lou, you do. Okay, at least two of us in here. Yeah, we wonder why in the world God still puts up with us. But he does, and God will be glorified. And we see that, and he will be sanctified, which means made holy. He is holy. We know that, but he wants us to show him as holy. And one of the ways that we show God as holy is by how we respond to him and live out our lives. So we see that it is for the glory of God here in this verses, in these verses that they do that. Now let me, I'm working with this, get back to where I was. So we see this, that this was to glorify God. Now, something also very interesting that happens there is when he heard that Lazarus was ill, look at what it says here, he stayed longer. I thought that was very interesting. It says, when he heard that he was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Right before that, it said, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So, when he heard he was ill, he stayed longer. Does that make sense? You would think that he loved them. When he heard about this, what would he do? He would go straightway or even say something right then to keep him from dying. But he didn't because he loved them. Now, that has major ramifications for us. His love sometimes brings upon our suffering, doesn't it? He loves us so much that he lets us go through testings and trials and difficult things. We're going to talk about that some more later, but he stayed longer because he loved them. How many times do you pray, God, increase my faith? Let me be dependent upon you more. The way God does that is through life, through experiences, through us saying, I'm going to trust God, even though everything about me is saying, don't do that. Don't go there. You don't have a place to live. Just find a place to live first and then go. But he doesn't do that. Then we see something also very interesting. At the end, he's trying to tell him he's falling asleep. Because for Jesus, essentially, that's all it is. Jesus is like, hey, wake up. All right? That's what he can do. It's nothing to Jesus. But he says, look, they didn't understand. He can wake up. We don't want to go and get stoned, if that's all right with you. We don't want to get beaten and killed. If we could just stay here. And he's like, look, Lazarus has died, and I'm going to raise him from the dead. We didn't say that there, but that's what he's going to do. And he says this. It's very interesting. Lazarus has died, and for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. He was glad that Lazarus died. God sees things completely different than we do, doesn't he? He sees things completely different than we do. When I was in high school, I think I was a senior, this girl, her name was Ashley Toller, 8th grade, loved the Lord. She was in 9th grade, loved the Lord. I knew her well, she was at church, and they were leaving church, her and her sister and her sister's boyfriend, and they had had a little lesson, and they talked about see you later and how it may not ever see that person again. They talked about eternity and things like that, and this girl loved God. And when they left out, to leave, they all joked, see you later, and it was the last time that they saw her. She was riding down the road from their church. They come over the hill and hit somebody, and her head came up, and she died, and her sister and her sister's boyfriend lived. And I can remember how tough that was on our school and the people in my class, and how they came to me saying, we know she's going to heaven, but people wouldn't say that about me. I remember this one girl in particular with tears in her eyes. They said, I want people that if I die to know that I'm going to heaven. See, they knew, all right? And through this girl's death, many people got saved. Now listen, Her family went through a tough time with that. It was very difficult. But knowing that where she was, that made things a lot easier. Now, that was in God's plan, wasn't it? It's hard for us to think that and admit that. And let me tell you, I don't know what I would do if something like that happened. Glad my wife isn't here this morning. She didn't like me talk like this. I don't know what would happen if something like that happened to my child. And maybe someone here has experienced that. I know my grandmother has, and it's very difficult to go through. But Jesus says, I'm glad that Lazarus died. I'm glad that I wasn't there. Because I want you to see and believe. Now, this is going to be a picture. What you're going to see is this kind of fast forward, a summary, a concise look at what happens to us when we die. Now, yesterday I got to be at a wedding. The whole point of this, I want you to see how God glorifies Himself, even in our suffering, and how we profit from it, yet we don't see it. I have a friend, one of my best friends. Some of you guys have met him. Some of you guys were here for one of our foundations group, and we Skyped him in over the TV, and he taught part of our doctrine section, Ricky, and he's 37, 38, and he's getting married for the first time. And I prayed for Ricky for many years to get married, and he has dated many girls, and none of them were good enough. And he met this girl back in April. Her name is Jenny. She's got three kids, and two years ago, she lost her husband to cancer, lymphoma. Young, lost her husband to cancer. They had a two-year-old that had never met his father. He never even got to see his son. And so here you are, you see, all right, that tragic thing that happened. And it was. But you see how God's hand was in that. And he took my friend Ricky. Look, I'm about to cry right now just thinking about it. He took my friend Ricky, which we were like, we just thought Ricky was picky all these years. But come to find out, God was picky. God had a plan in place for him to be glorified, for Ricky to take himself and as a picture of Christ, marry this woman with these three kids to raise them and take care of them as if they were his own. And it was awesome to see they get married. They're standing there and they invite the kids to come up. And as they come up, that two-year-old doesn't run to his mama. He ran right to Ricky, and he picked him up and held him. And it just was amazing to see how out of sadness and brokenness, God can work in such a great way. Now listen, I'm not naive enough to say it doesn't hurt when bad things happen. It does. It's terrible. God has placed us here with the capacity to love and to care for people, and then sometimes it feels like God just snatches them away from us. Or it could be some other situation where maybe we struggle with finances or our own health is not good, or we may be having a tough relationship with people and we wonder, why are things so difficult right now? But let me say this. Don't be like the disciples and lack faith. Don't worry like Mary and Martha. But if you do, He is patient with you. And He is glad that He's going to be able to show up for you. And that is exactly what He does. They end up seeing the glory of God when Lazarus is raised from the dead. They see His power and His authority, His love and His compassion. God being glorified is anything that draws attention to His greatness, His character, and His beauty. And that's exactly what happened. They saw how powerful He was. They saw His character. They saw His beauty. Their faith was strengthened. How do you think they lived the rest of their life after they saw this? How would you live the rest of your life if old so-and-so died for 4 days and then we said, look, and then Jesus just raised him right up from the dead? I think things would change, right? And when you see God work, it makes a difference in your life, doesn't it? Now, you're not going to see God work if you're not around what God's doing. If you're not in His Word, getting to know who He is. If you don't trust Him in difficult situations to take care of you. Their faith was strengthened. And it is so important that Jesus be glorified. And the issue of our suffering is for God to be glorified, but it always benefits us. It benefits us. Now listen, the greatest picture of God's glory You know, I just don't feel like I've done justice to his glory. Maybe I'll try to do a better job next week. His glory is that which is beautiful and magnificent about him. The greatest picture, and listen, it takes into account everything about God. That's what his glory is, okay? The greatest picture of God's glory is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you'll see this brought to light. He says later on, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and life. You think about that. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ glorified God because it brought attention to characteristics about God. It brought to attention how much he loves people, doesn't it? It brought to our attention his mercy towards sinners. It brought attention to his overwhelming desire to see justice done, that sin cannot go unpunished, but I will be merciful and I'll punish my son for those who have sinned. So we see his justice, we see his compassion on people, we see his patience. Oh my goodness, his patience, even with those that mocked him and spit on him and plucked out his beard. We see his great patience. We see his intentions toward us, that they are good, that they are kind, that they are caring. So much so that he's willing to give up his life for us. We saw there the glory of God in his power over death, that it had no power over him, had no control over him. In the same way that he says, Lazarus, come forth, Lazarus comes on out. He says the same thing to us when we die. He just says, come on to be with me. That's what he does. And we walk from this life right on into eternal life, which actually already started. And we see his kindness toward his enemies. The cross shows us more of who God is than any other event in all of the Bible. And so if you want to meditate and think upon the glory of God, meditate and think upon what he did on the cross for us. And just think about it. From every avenue, from every angle that you can, think about what he did. We're going to have an invitation. If you've never experienced God's glory through the cross by saying, I want that forgiveness, I want to be saved from my sins, you got the opportunity to do that this morning. I'll be down here. You can come speak with me. I'll pray with you. If you're a believer and you say, I just don't live. I live kind of like those disciples. I'm like, I'm not going. I don't want to die. I'm scared. I'm afraid. I don't know that God can do these things in my life. I don't want to give of myself the way that he's called me to do because I don't know what's going to happen. I want to control my own life. When you find you trying to control your own life, you will find it quickly out of control. Father, we thank you for this day and all that you do for us. We pray, God, that even now you're working in our hearts. I thank you for being so good to us. Save someone today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.